Creative work can take a lot out of you. And as filmmakers, we need to make sure we take care of our inner selves as much as our outward-facing selves. Today, we're talking to a filmmaker that has melded mindfulness and movie making here on the Fly Filmmaking.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Welcome back to On the Fly Filmmaking. I'm your host, Mary Lou Mandel, and this is the show where we learn about filmmaking from the people who are doing it. I've got guest Jordan Taylor Wright with me today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here.
You too.
You just had like a book release, and you just came from a book signing. Thank you for making your way over to us.
Of course.
Yeah, let everyone know where they can find you on social media and check out your work.
Yeah, so I'm at Taylor Cut Films on all forms of social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
everywhere.
YouTube, all that fun stuff. And then I just launched a website and a platform called IntentOn.
Yes.
.io, and that's where my book is and a lot of new work that I'm creating. So
yeah, really great resource. I checked that out earlier, so make sure you guys check his work out at Taylor Cut Films on social media. IntentOn.io is the website. You can find me all over the internet at Mary Lou Mandel. If you enjoy listening to this show, you can listen to it through podcast version on iTunes, and if you want to watch and see the visuals, you can watch us on YouTube at the Popcorn Talk channel on YouTube. So let's chat a little bit about what you do as a filmmaker. So before this, I was like, so do you consider yourself a director, producer, etc.? But you said filmmaker, which is it's pretty much what I consider myself too, because it can encapsulate all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So explain to me what filmmaker is.
Yes.
To you.
Well, I guess the medium of making films traditionally was actually filming on film, 16mm, 35mm, 8mm, and all that stuff. And that's what I did in film school. And now I think it just encapsulates the ability to share and tell a narrative through visual format. I love directing. I love editing. I love writing. Storyteller first and foremost.
Yes.
And then telling it through visuals is the way I choose to do it. And photography as well, and now writing a book. So I think we're all storytellers, and we're just finding the medium that fits us and aligns with us the best. So
yeah, that's beautifully put. Like, as a storyteller, because there's so many ways you can tell it. I know that I choose to tell stories in the way that I receive them the best, and that's through visuals, whether it's still or moving. So I think that that's really, really beautiful. So you did go to film school. So this is something we chat with a lot of our guests on. Because our audience tends to be, you know, filmmakers that are aspiring and they're not sure if they should go to film school or they shouldn't go to film school. What's your take on it? What did you take away from film school, and what could be left?
So I studied film for 4 years at school. I also majored in psychology, minored in business, and that intrigued me because I wanted to understand why, as humans, we think the way we do and why we may feel sadness or anger or any of the emotions that can cloud us from time to time. And from learning how to get to the root of why you're thinking certain things, I applied that to my storytelling and my filmmaking. And when you're watching a movie, you're watching the vision and the perspective of a director, of the storyteller, of the people making it. So you're very much going within the mind. So it is an art of psychology when you're watching a film, because you're getting to the root and the source of what someone is creating. And in terms of what I took away from film school, I got to learn first and foremost how to collaborate with a lot of other people, which is an incredible experience. So the going to university and going to college for a lot of people is the first time you're living on your own separate from your parents, and how you get to basically plant your feet on solid ground and learn what that means, and then how to collaborate with one another and how to take in new information and how to really learn how to find your own and how to feel comfortable within your own space, which is an incredible experience, especially when you're telling stories and doing it through your art. So that's an amazing way to do that. And then to learn why you might use a low angle as opposed to a high angle, depending on what type of power or theme or motif you're trying to show to a character, and then why lighting is important, and all these different techniques that you may have understood subconsciously but not been able to process it consciously was an amazing tool. And then but I was even speaking about today during my book signing was nothing can substitute practice and real life experience. So being on a set or holding a camera in your hand and trying to figure out why is a slow motion not as smooth as possible? What shutter speed should this be at? Or why is it that the color temperature is so off? Is it something in the lighting, or is it something in camera that I need to adjust? Those type of scenarios and situations are the most valuable, in my opinion. And it's the easiest way for us to learn is by actually having the experience, because you can tell someone something and they might not retain it, but to actually experience it is something different. And another amazing thing that I'm offering on intent on is I'm actually starting a Tailor Cut University, which is going to start a 6-episode course that just explains how to do filmmaking and photography and content creation. If that's something that people know they already want to do, then hopefully it can be a tool to learn, because an amazing tool that I had, especially in today's day and age with social media, is the ability to YouTube or Google something and watch firsthand how to do something. And hopefully this university and these courses I'm offering can be a nice alternative if people don't have, you know, $40,000 to $60,000 to go to school every year and they already know what they want to do. Yeah, hopefully it could help other people.
Yeah, I definitely saw the trailer for that's on his YouTube channel, Tailor Cut Films, and maybe we can pull that up here to take a look at. But I love what you're offering there. I went and watched a lot of your tutorials, because on my YouTube channel, I'm aiming to do the same thing, but at a more beginner level.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's like, I don't know how to get the photos off of my phone.
Yeah.
You know, like at that level. And I just love the spirit of, I have information that I can share with you.
Absolutely.
Because and I just like love to empower other people to do this fun thing that we love to do as well. So let's check out the trailer for Tailor Cut University.
Learn firsthand how to become a creator. These courses will teach you photography, videography, storytelling, video editing, sound design, color grading, and how to become a creator. Learn how to untap your creativity. Take power into your own hands. Join today.
Beautifully shot promo there, and you can find that at intenton.io.
Yes.
If you want to, is it already available or is it?
It's coming this summer.
Coming this summer. Okay.
We filmed all the courses. We're just editing it, and we're going to break it up into 6 episodes. And then when you get access to the site, you get access to the university. And then also every week I'll host a live Q&A. So if you are, say, a beginner and you're like, I watched the first 2 episodes, but I don't understand how to get, you know, this off of the CF card. And why is it that this RAW file isn't saying it's compatible with Adobe? And that way I can do live Q&As,
right,
and be able to answer specific questions that weren't covered. And then I'd be, I'm going to be updating the courses every month as well. So it'll start with like general oversight. And from there I can get a gauge of where people are at and then be able to like, tailor make specific episodes for each people.
Brilliant. I love that. And it's you're melding your information that you had from film school,
yeah,
and also your many, many years, like 10 plus years of in the field work.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the work that you have done.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you started getting into the music world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to me about that journey.
Yeah. So I guess the first way I even got into making videos was in high school, and I would listen to a song like many people would, and they'd picture, you know, a music video in their head or a little scene from a film. And because music as its own art form is very visceral as well. So for me, I didn't know how to verbally express what I was feeling. So when I would listen to a song, it almost, like you asked me, is there a specific song that gets you excited? There's music that becomes a theme for your life, and it's almost a time machine. You can listen to a song and automatically go back to where you were when you first heard it. So for me, I would just put visuals to music, and that was my way of telling a story. So when I graduated film school, I was working at the Food Network, and I was filming different reality shows just as a camera operator. And it was exciting because I was doing what I loved, operating a camera, but creatively and on a spiritual soul level wasn't satisfying my creativity. It wasn't a full expression of who I was and how I felt. So I would, on the weekends, go to different concert venues, make friends with the bouncers, sneak into the show, and film artists that were inspiring to me. And I would, at the end of the show, go up to the manager and say, I'm going to make a little recap edit of the video of the show, and if you want to use it, just say, Tailor Cut Films made it, you don't have to pay me. And
yeah,
that was my introduction into, I guess, the professional world of music. And it caught the attention of this artist named Chris Cab, who was at the time signed to Pharrell. So I went on tour with him. He opened up for T-Pain and Gym Class Heroes. And from there, it kind of just spiraled. It was a domino effect. And I was lucky enough to, a producer reached out to me and said that Usher was going to be in New York City starring in an off-Broadway show. And if I'd be available to film him for 4 days. And I met him and I was filming. And I remember after the first day of filming, I was, of course, nervous and wanted to be cordial and respectful of filming. And it's a very intimate thing, just putting someone on camera. And so I wanted to have my space and all of that. And I remember after a couple minutes of filming, he was like, you can come closer, you can do that. And right away, all the boundaries were broken and dropped. And he made a joke that resonated and I made a joke. And all of a sudden, you just connect with someone. And that's something that's invaluable that they don't teach you in film school, is the ability to just feel the presence and be honest while you're recording, because it's very much it's an extension of yourself and it's an extension of life, of reality. So it's not fake, especially on what's happening with social media. Now people can almost put up a facade of what they want the world to see, as opposed to just being honest. And filmmaking is an honest representation of how you're feeling and telling the story that's the most truthful for you. And it was an amazing 3-year journey with Usher being able to do his social media and music videos and tour content and documentary, whatever it was. Him and his team had trust in my ability to take these visuals that I was filming and then shape it into something. And again, when there's no guideline, there's no parameter, you just have a blank canvas, which is what the world is. Just have trust and faith in what you're wanting to express. So I had all these visuals and I was touring and seeing the world that I had never seen before through the lens and perspective of someone else's eyes, his eyes, and then also witnessing new experience that I've never had before. So I just wanted to express it the best way I knew how. So that was the intro into there. And from there I got to meet, you know, Justin Bieber and Jennifer Lopez, Martin Garrix, and amazing other beautiful creatives as well. And when you just resonate on a personal and spiritual level, then the art, that's what art is. And then you just continue to make from there. So there's no set blueprint of how to go about achieving your dream other than just feeling confident and having courage in the ability that what you're saying is honest and that someone else will resonate with it, with that. And you just don't have any fear of judgment or any notion of what an expectation of what it's going to be. Just let it be that. And then all of a sudden you get to be on a podcast and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to come and talk to me about this.
Yeah.
How exciting. Yeah, and then you also promote yourself on social media. Like, so you have your Instagram, which is beautiful. And then you have your YouTube that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Just really wonderful stuff. And I see that you've got some videos that are narrative, like you've got like a storyline and things like that, and then other ones are here's a bunch of really beautiful footage that you molded into something.
Yeah.
So what are how's your workflow between those two?
To me, they all have a narrative. It's just I am getting better at expressing it.
Uh huh.
So even if it is just, hey, I'm in India and this is what it looks like through my lens of being in India, to me it has a narrative. Even if someone else is like, well, where's the story? Like, what's the synopsis? And the cool thing about it is that's where it's like these lifestyle videos that's where it's coming from, is people don't quite understand how to express it verbally through dialogue, which is what filmmaking and watching movies are, is there's dialogue, and dialogue is the conversation which sets the text and the tone and the parameters. But people are now wanting to express themselves using a song or just using these visuals, and even if you don't understand it at a conscious level, it's still telling a story.
Definitely.
And the story is I love traveling and I love being in a new place, and this is what it looks and feels like to be there. So it's almost like hopping into another person's mind. And now now that I wrote a script and I'm directing a feature, since I've graduated, I haven't really fully put myself into fleshing out my personal story fully. And now that I am more mindful and more self-aware of what it is that I'm thinking and why I'm thinking it, I'm able to tangibly put it into a script format and articulate it properly. Mm-hmm. But even some of my branded work, whether it be Bose or L'Oreal or whatever it is you're looking at, there is you know, there's a story there even told without words, which right. I think is really awesome.
Well, and what I was asking there was that I'm sure with the branded content, you kind of have a plan before shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Where the travel lifestyle ones, maybe you're shooting and then you make a story about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Is the approach different, or do you find that it's very similar or parallel?
The editing process is similar in that once you have the puzzle pieces in front of you, you're able to know how to piece it together to articulate the feeling that you want to express. But for pre-production, when it's traveling, you just know you're going to be somewhere, but you don't know the scenarios mm-hmm. and you don't know exactly and the personnel that are going to be there and all the things that on a set you have, you know, quote unquote control over. You know, all right, this person's arriving at from 8 to 5, and this person's in. But just traveling, you kind of pick up the camera, you film what you're inspired by, and you now I know going into it, I can say, you know, say this is for Bose. I know that I want it to start with sitting at a computer. I put on my headphones, and all of a sudden, as I go to edit, the whole world like melts away, and then the camera goes into the computer, and then a beautiful montage of being in this location, and it's like almost being in a dream, and that's what music does. It teleports you, and then it ends with coming back out of the computer screen. I'm sitting at my desk, and I hit save.
Yeah.
So that I can have that pre-production and that notion of what to achieve when making that, as opposed to if, you know, a lot of this was just made for fun with no expectation. I just knew I wanted to see India. So yeah. I went and wasn't thinking about what is the story going to be while I'm there. I just, let's see what happens, and then put something together, share it on the internet, and people react to it, which is really amazing. And the amazing thing about, again, social media now is it's a springboard, and it's a beautiful marketing place for people to see your creative vision. So then from there, shape it into something greater. And that's what I'm excited about with this movie, is it is something larger and it's greater.
Yeah, yeah. That's really wonderful that you're delving into that. Because I've done the reason I wanted to ask about those two different processes, because I've explored both, right? So I've written a script and like made a like a short film and things like that, and that was really fun.
Yeah,
it's a totally different process than, you know what, I did a project that for 30 days I just went out for the day, filmed, and whatever I came up with for the day,
yeah,
put that together into whatever little creative nugget it turned out to, and the story was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really fascinated with that. And so looking at your stuff, it really reminded me of that experience, because some of it, like you know, there's some planning ahead of time. But a lot, like, it felt very like, here's what I captured and this is how I want to give it to you.
Yeah.
Well, here's a window into my mind.
Everything's a story, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if you see someone riding a bike down the street, you can make a story out of that and go, well, I wonder if they just came from work and maybe they had a bad day and then they got on the bike and then they just decided to wheel and then a car honks at them and they swerve off of the road. And so everything is a story. It's just to what degree you want to tell it. And yeah, the daily kind of expression is beautiful, because it is you're living your current story while right now, you know, this is we're actively manifesting this kind of like conscious hallucination that's going on. So this is, we're watching our movie based on the frequency that we're holding. So if we want to feel happy, we're going to see happiness. And if we are feeling sad, we're going to see sadness. So the amazing thing about expressing that and being creative is it's being in a state of meditation, because you're allowing that to flow through you, which is why mindfulness and meditation has helped so much, is because that is where creativity lives. No artist is in control of their art. If you try to tell someone, make something right now, be creative, you can't force it. You get to open yourself up and allow it to pass through you, just like a singer becomes an instrument when they open their mouth. They're not thinking about singing. And similar with a dancing, they're in a state of flow. And filmmaking and photography is no different. You turn off your ego self and you turn off your mind and allow yourself just to perceive. And then when you're taking a photo, you just, hey, this is what it feels like to be looking through my eyes right now. And this is what it feels like to be living this day right now. And this day is happy, so it's going to look happy, and it's going to look the way I'm currently feeling. And then by expressing that, you get to just live in that state of being, which is really amazing. And yeah, and just knowing kind of your intention. And now my intention is to tell larger stories, with the story being that of mindfulness, that we're all, we're all the universal light within everything, and that you can look at the world through the lens of complete imagination. That's, I grew up watching Disney films, and mm-hmm. I still look at the world like that. Like, think of the happiest thing. It's the same as having wings. I'm Peter Pan, and I feel like I'm never going to grow up. So when I look at the world like that, I want to be able to express that. And I know the strongest way of doing that for me is, like you said, is making movies, because it's the perfect harmony and culmination of audio and visual, which is what we really are. We're looking and we're hearing. Yeah, we're touching and we're smelling and we're feeling. There's a lot of other things, but film is a painting coming to life, and it's a photo coming to life, and it's a song then paired with a visual. So it's kind of every art form that you can imagine rolled into one. And for me, that's what resonates, and I'm happy it does. Now that I'm more self-aware and conscious of my state of being and my thoughts and what I want to express, a film is the next step for me, because as much as I love making travel videos and branded content and music videos, and I still continue to do it with an amazing team, I'm putting the energy into making a larger narrative that expresses my story, that was me growing up, how I got to where I am, and how I was able to get to a state of meditation and remove my notion of ego, which can be terrifying for a lot of people. And your notion of ego is any identity of who you are, your age, your sexuality, your gender, because once you strip all that away, you're everything and nothing at the same time. So I'm doing it very visually with the sense of imagination to it. Yeah.
So before we get into talking about your film, I want to chat with you about how mindfulness came into your world.
Yeah. So I studied psychology. So that's the process of being mindful, or at least trying to work out why your mind is thinking certain things. Then the next step is, which is mindfulness and your conscious awareness and being observant of your thoughts, comes spirituality, which is really just that you are not associated with your ego. And that came to me from, I stumbled upon meditation. And at first, like a lot of people, if you say meditation, you're picturing a Buddhist monk sitting in the Alps in a temple with their arms like this going, Om. But that's being in a state of meditation, and meditating is just being aware of your thinking. So we all use the word, it's like, oh, he's self-conscious or she's self-conscious. What does that word actually mean? It means that you may be thinking to yourself, like, I look fat today. But the fact that you're thinking about that you are fat means that you're recognizing your own thoughts. So we are not our thought. We are the one witnessing our thought. And that's where meditation comes in, is you, by being in a state of meditation, you are witnessing your thoughts. And I'm a very visual person. So when I learned how to meditate, even when I was sitting there, at first, and I closed my eyes, you can't just sit there and be like, I don't want to think, because then naturally you're thinking about not thinking. So I learned how to visualize, and when I would breathe in, I'd picture the ocean's wave, and every time I took a breath in, I pictured the ocean's wave receding, and every time I took a breath out, I pictured going back to shore. And the more I did that, and the more I got in tune with just my breath and having a mindful breath, it eliminated all the thoughts that were clouding me, all the thoughts about, what am I going to do tomorrow? What should I do then? Why did I do that yesterday? Oh, I have this deadline. Oh, I can't believe I have to pack tonight. And then they all disappear, because we aren't our thoughts. The same thoughts we had 2 minutes ago aren't the same we'll have from 2 minutes from now. So being in a state of meditation simply removes you from that. And then once I was able to get into that state of being, which is just this nothingness space, you learn how to hold that, because we're batteries. You know, you can't love someone fully if you don't have full love for yourself. It's like an iPhone. If you're not 100%, you're not able to then give that energy to another person. So you learn how to be in tune with yourself, and then you learn how to realize when you're holding aches and pains in your shoulder or your neck or your back or any of these attachments that we hold on to. And so that's how it came into my life, and it's been literally life-changing, because it changes your perspective of how you look at things. So when you're aware of what you're thinking, you get to witness everything, every moment, through a new perspective, because you have no attachment. You're not looking at something being like, this is a cup that I have drank from before, so this is, you have no notion, you have no context. So this looks completely new. It looks completely, everything's a new experience. So I can look at it through the eyes of creativity and be like, well, that water looks like it's a swimming pool and there's a dinosaur swimming in it, and then it pops its head out, and then all of a sudden it flips over and a bunch of people, and you get to then just be in this state of flow where it's like a faucet. If creativity is a faucet, it can only flow through you when you're fully open. And if you have any blockages and if you have any attachments and you have any weight, then it's not going to be able to flow through you. And if you try to control it, that's exactly what it is. You're like gripping onto it. So it's about learning to let go and separate yourself from it. And I learned that through meditation. You can learn it through yoga. You can learn it through just breathing. The book that I wrote very much touches upon all of that. And art. Art is the strongest form of meditation, whether people are self-aware of it or not. And a lot of artists end up like going kind of quote unquote crazier because they are disassociated from their ego. That's how they make the art, but they don't understand where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of lose themselves in that. But if you're mindful and you're aware that you're not the one controlling it, then you get to let it pass through you always. And then everything is creative. Eating food is creative, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've often thought about the concept of creativity and talking with other people, other creatives about it, that it's like, it's not really up to you. Like, you are here, you are outputting it. Mm-hmm. You are the one receiving it and kind of translating it into the world, but it's not really up to you.
You're the lens. So my analogy that really resonates with me is like sitting in a movie theater and watching a movie on the screen. And while you're watching it, you get so teleport and you believe so much what's happening on the screen that you enter that reality. But to take a step back, where is the source of where it's coming from? It's coming from the projector behind you. And how often while you're sitting watching a movie do you consciously recognize, oh, I'm watching light being projected onto a screen? Similarly, that's what life is. We are watching our projected reality going through our eyes, and what's happening in front of us is our screen. And just like a movie, we have the light being projected through us, and that's what the creativity is. That's the source that's within everything, every being, animals. So you have the same light source passing through you as I do passing through me. The only difference is the lens in which I'm looking at it, which is my experiences thus far in life and my context of it. So I am a man who grew up in New Jersey, whose parents are South African, who went to film school. So then the lens in which I'm looking at it is different in which the lens you're looking at it based on all everything that's happened. But when you strip all of that away, you get to meet someone at that soul light level. And that's what finding a soulmate is, or a partner or anything like that. When you get to look into someone else's eyes and see the mirror reflection of the light that's in both of you. And you're like, whoa, I feel this within this moment. And that, yeah, that's what being creative is just recognizing that it's passing through you. And that's what life is too. Everything's being passed through, you know? The more you hold on to this notion that you are your ego and that you're controlling things, the scarier death is going to be, because the ego fears death because it doesn't want to not exist anymore. But if you realize you're in a state of being and not being at the same time, we're in the constant flux of life and death, and then that energy continues forever. And then all of a sudden there's nothing to fear. And then there's no pain, and then there's no hurting, and all that just disappears. And it starts with just being mindful and aware and allowing yourself to love yourself fully, and which is beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I love that your meditation, like when you're talking about getting into meditation and you're thinking about water receding in and out, like all of my meditation work has always been based around water.
Yeah.
And water thoughts and water visualization. So like I've done the ocean thing where I imagined that I was a sand castle. And that, like, the water would come in and wash me away slowly, wash away all of the, like, the being.
Yeah.
So then I am just there.
Yeah.
Or there's another one that I listen to pretty regularly on YouTube that's been, like, my favorite lately. But it's, like, you are this river, and then the river goes down the mountain, and then you go into this. Oh, it's very – the visualization helps me a lot.
Yeah.
And then I break through into – the actual meditation.
Yeah.
It gets me out of my thoughts. So I think that's really great resources. And also your book for people who are probably getting into meditation or are already into it, Forever in the Infinite Now, already available.
Yeah.
That you can get on his website. You can also get it on Amazon, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Awesome. So then this is supposed to be predecessor to your film. And
yes.
This is going to be your first feature film.
Yes,
and this is called Discovery of the Divine Consciousness, shot in Tokyo, Alaska, New Zealand, Los Angeles, coming out winter 2018.
Yes.
So you already touched on it a little bit. It's your kind of your biography.
Yeah.
Like about your journey.
Yeah. So it's about me, and it's also about me learning how to remove the notion of me, which sounds like a lot, but
yeah.
It starts with a voiceover that has this animation talking very much like a fairy tale, talking about how there once lived a child who used to converse amongst the shadows and believing in the imagination that laid there, and then he grew up like most children did, and the world told him to grow up and he stopped believing in the power of his dreams, but those creatures that he used to speak to still reside there amongst the stars waiting for the child to return. And then you see a young boy, the younger version of myself, alone in his room, and he goes to put in a video game, and it's called The Game of Human Existence. And then we kind of see it dives into this notion of like what society is today. And then I guess the overall theme of it is it flashes to me in present day, and I realize that I'm still sleeping and I'm trapped inside my own head. So I try to escape, and by doing so, I kind of go into a series of memories. And when I'm within these memories, I learn that these things that may be haunting you, whether it's your parents' divorce or breaking up with someone that you love or someone that you love dying, you realize that there's absolute beauty there, and everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. So, and it's told in a very visual, beautiful way that allows you to open up your imagination, because films today are very much touching on the notion of separating yourself from ego, but they're doing it in a horror way, in a way that's like terrifying, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's Annihilation or A Quiet Place or Black Mirror, they all stem from this. If we don't remove ourselves from our ego, this is what's going to happen. But all that's doing is putting this negativity or this fear into the world. So there's enough fear as it is. So I want to tell it in a way that has the sense of wonderment and imagination as like a life of Pi or something that has that beauty and that magic there. So that's what we're doing, and that's how we're showing it. So I'm excited to present that to the world.
Yeah, I can't wait till that comes out. I think it's going to be beautiful, because already all of the work of yours that I've seen is very beautiful, and I've noticed it had like a very dreamlike feeling. So do you have any visual inspirations that brought you to that style?
Yeah, I mean, I love Life of Pi. Mm-hmm. I mean, Avatar is incredibly visceral. Good Will Hunting, dialogue-wise, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the way it's practically able to, you feel like you're within somebody's self-conscious.
Yeah.
Midnight in Paris is just showcasing the beauty that is Paris. So, I mean, and Pan's Labyrinth, I love Guillermo del Toro. So any of those, and then Disney, Peter Pan, Lion King, Tarzan, all of that. So I kind of pull from what feels good for me.
Mm-hmm. I definitely see all of those inspirations in your work. So they're really good on you. So
Appreciate it.
One of your videos that I saw, we'll get a little bit into gear just in case people are interested. You had like a video that were like, this is the gear that you were carrying on your travels.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the camera that you're using mostly now?
I still use the Canon 1DX Mark II for more portable, run and gun type of situations.
I love that camera because it's good for photo and video.
Yeah,
both, because sometimes you can't switch back and forth.
Yeah, so it's nice for that. But I recently just got the Red Monstro, so it shoots 8K 60 frames a second. That's what we're filming the movie on, and that's what this TV series Self Expression that I'm making, that will be on the website. Also, I'm filming that on that and. Yeah, so I'm excited that I just got to purchase that, because it's really going to change the way everything that we create looks.
Yeah, that's a really great resource is his YouTube channel. Lots of good stuff on there. Also, on your website, I saw that you sell packages of LUTs, which are lookup tables. It's to help you color your videos.
Yes.
And I think that's a really wonderful thing that you have out there, because I know for me, that's always the hardest thing. Like I can edit a picture and make it look like what I want.
Yeah.
But a video, I'm not there yet.
Well, it just keeps changing. So even if, you get it exactly the way you look, then what if 3 seconds later you walk outdoor to indoor and then you got to change your, maybe a light source is, and then, or you're in a different scene. The LUTs that I have available, there's, I believe 8 of them in there. And so it's kind of runs the gambit from, a more warm tone or then a blue night tone, everything that I've used to create what I've created so far. And then in Taylor Credit University, I'm going to do a whole color grading episode where I talk about, once you apply the LUT, how do you adjust it? What are the tools? What if you want to shift the hue, or what if you want to play around with the curves and you want to apply, just to soften the skin or anything like that. So that way people can really achieve the look that they're going for, because that's really important. As you can both be filming side by side, same camera, same lens, same everything. But then when you go to color it, you get to set the tone, you get to set the vibe right away. So, I'm excited to help people to bring that vision to life and be the most accurate representation of what they're seeing, because at the end of the day, that's what we all want.
Yeah, it's just giving people more tools to be able to express themselves,
yeah,
and then enabling people to grow in their art. So I really appreciate that, because that's like my philosophy.
Yeah.
I just want to give people as much information as possible. And that's also what we try to do with this show.
Yeah.
Is enable people to be able to be creative with as much information as possible. So thank you so much for coming to chat with us.
Thank you for having me.
Make sure you check out Discovery of the Divine Consciousness, which is your film. And then your book, again, is Forever in the Infinite Now.
Yes.
So make sure you guys check that out. Really great resources on his website, intenton.io.
Mm-hmm.
And where can they find you all over the internet?
Yeah, just search Taylor Cut Films, and I'm on every major platform you can think of.
Yes. Yeah, just go down a rabbit hole of his very, very beautiful videos. You're going to love it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
And again, I am Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me all over the internet at Mary Lou Mandel, and we will catch you next time on The Fly Filmmaking.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners and principals. I stand up, gap on my hands up, boot down, strong like Mount Akin.